You're listening to The Profile.
Hi, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. For the last 19 years, it's been my joy to investigate how Christians can lead better by talking to a variety of Christian leaders inside and outside the Christian world. So whether you are in a leadership role or simply looking to maximize your influence for God, I hope you find this next conversation helpful. The show is brought to you by Premier Christianity, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. It's probably the case that your leadership is exercised within a team or running a team. The context will vary, but for most of us, we have people alongside us who we work with from time to time. And if you've been in any leadership for any length of time, you will know that this can be a blessing and an incredible challenge. Times when we feel like there's a little bit of heaven broken out, and times, sadly, when we feel like we're in the opposite place. Well, to help us think through our team dynamics, I'm joined by Lucy Pepiat, who is the principal of Westminster Theological Centre, a non-denominational hub-based theological college with its central office based in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire. Lucy has pastored churches alongside her husband at St. Stephen's, East Twickenham, St. Mary Magdalene, Avondale Church, Harare, Zimbabwe, and St. Stephen's, Netherthorpe, Sheffield. So Lucy, welcome to the Leadership Show.
Thanks, Andy.
Great to have you with us, particularly to talk about team dynamics, not least, of course, because it is such a crucial dimension of leadership. So your experience of team looking back, Lucy?
I've had quite a varied experiences of teams because I've worked in paid employment, and I've also done quite a lot of sort of voluntary ministerial work in our churches, and then also done a bit of part-time work with a tiny team, say of me, my husband, and one other person. So that was a number of years we were doing something like that. So I've had quite a varied experiences of teams and how they work, both being on one, having bosses, and then also leading them, and leading both employed teams, you know, in an employment setting, and also quite a lot of voluntary stuff.
Sure. And so the structure of the college that you're leading now, and the amount of time you would spend with, to give us a sort of context for your experience of team at this present moment.
My experience of team now, well, I've been the principal of WTC since 2013. I took over in 2012 and began leading, really. Then I was kind of co-leading with the COO. And then when he left, I took over, and then they appointed me as the principal. So I've been leading this team and building this team for 12 years now, which has been fascinating and wonderful, and I loved it a lot more than I perhaps anticipated I would. It's a real joy as a part of my job is leadership and management, and I actually see them as slightly different things. I don't see them as synonyms at all, and I think some leaders can be brilliant leaders, but are not necessarily good managers. And some good managers are not necessarily good leaders. And I think they require different skills.
And of course, the principal of a theological college has different aspects of their leadership. They have the obviously the student work. They have the connection with the outer world, the support, you know, the trustees. But they also have other staff, and it requires a lot of different capacities and skills to connect with those three types of audience.
That's right. So you have your own team. We also have quite a big remote team at WTC. So we have our central team who come into the office. We have other people who are working actually on the central team, but are remote. One person lives outside in Scotland, outside Glasgow. We have our hub directors who are based in the hub. They're all part-time. And so we have to keep connected to them. And then, as you say, you have your board of trustees, you have your stakeholders, you have your patrons and your donors. So there's a lot of people in that sense to manage in different ways and to keep connected to, which I enjoy that. I enjoy that sort of diversity to my job. But yes, that is part of my job.
And so there's elements of the job where people are getting on with their own thing. So obviously lecturers are delivering courses, marking papers and all the rest of it. And then there are times when you come together for group connecting and for group decisions, I guess. That would be where the team dynamic aspect particularly comes into fore.
Yes. Yeah, so if I explain the structure, you'll see that it's quite different at WTC from maybe a traditional college. That because the majority of our faculty are actually what you would call adjunct faculty or visiting lecturers, because we have a dispersed model, or a hub model. So the people who run the college, they're really my team. They're my central team. And that's fairly operations heavy. So because we need all of those people in the central office, not many of us, there aren't that many people who run the college. It's quite a sort of lean model. And there's about 20 people and some of them part-time. And then three of us are also faculty. So three on that team are academics. And then the rest of the faculty are sort of out around the world and around the UK, and they come in for residentials. So when they're in the resi, then we manage that team. But the day-to-day team is the management team of WTC, the team that does all the administration, all the operations, all the IT, and all of that. And then the little academic staff that runs all the academic programs. So it's quite a sort of unique setup.
So the language surrounding team dynamics typically comes to the fore when they're not working. I mean, I can think of colleagues or friends rather who, you know, things were not going well on the team. Things were upset, and therefore they looked at, well, how do we get things better? And at that point, they look for tools that help them to understand typically one another. You have tools like that have helped you over the years?
We do, very much so. When I came into WTC to run it, I was in my mid-40s, and I felt I'd seen a lot. I felt I'd seen quite a lot of dysfunctional teams and sort of dysfunctional ways of working in the church. I don't want to point any fingers at anybody, but I think anyone who's worked in churches knows what I mean. And I had seen better practices, ironically, often in other places that weren't Christian organizations. And I was old enough to know it, to sort of think, if I ever got to run my own thing, I know what I wouldn't do and I know what I think I would do. So from day one, when I came in and I was actually in charge of a very small team there, I think there were only five or six of us, to try and get WTC back on its feet. It was in a bit of a state. I talked about values. And I introduced them on day one. I said to the team, I think we have these values. I think we're sort of operating with them, but let's name them and let's try and work towards them and in them as a team. And the more we worked with this idea of values, we developed it under the encouragement of my vice chair, who was also a fantastic mentor for me in the early years of WTC. He was a senior manager in Zurich Insurers. He then had retired, came onto my board, brilliant guy. And so he and I sort of would talk about these issues, and he sort of teased it out of me. He said, "What, you know, how are you doing what you're doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not sure I'm really thinking about it." And he said, "Yes, you are thinking about it. What are you doing? write it all down. And I said, well, I have these values. And he said, well, you need to write them down. And so we then began to shape our whole organization according to certain values that we all agreed upon. So it wasn't top down. It wasn't me coming in saying, I mean, the first five, I was like, here, why don't we do this, guys? You know, but as we began to write a much more detailed account of our values, that was very much a team. That was a team pursuit, you know, and venture. And it's been invaluable for us, I think, as a group of people, because it gets away from this idea that it's all about me, Lucy, you know, the leader, sort of saying, well, here's where we're going. This is what we're doing, everyone. This is how we're doing it. And it enables us all to kind of gather around something that is external to us, to say we want to run WTC along these lines. And it also makes the managers and senior managers accountable. It's a fantastic system and structure for people to be able to manage up or to come to their line managers and say, I'm not really happy with the way things are going, without it being personal. You know, because you can say, you can depersonalize it and say, I just feel like we're not doing things according to our values, because, you know, this is how I feel when you guys made that decision, or you're doing this, or nobody's paying any attention to me, or I haven't had an appraisal, or, you know, so I think we all find it extremely useful. So I would totally encourage people to do it. I know a couple of other organizations that do it very much like we do. And any of us would be very happy to help if somebody wanted to set up that kind of value structure.
And so can you give us an example of a value that, for example?
Well, the first values I came up with were creativity, humor, efficiency. And then we had an L. So this was it was slightly tongue in cheek, because they it's an acronym for CHELT, and we were working in Cheltenham.
Okay,
so,
right.
So we did have loyalty, but we've actually ditched that, as that is quite problematic, as we all realise, because loyalty can be a good thing, but also can be open up to abuse and manipulation. So we ditched that. So we now have led by the spirit, which we enjoy. So creativity, humour, efficiency, led by the spirit, and transparency. So those are five key values. We have theological values, which are on our website, which I won't go into all of those now, they're public anyway. What I thought was important later on, we worked out management values. So, and I'll just read them to you, because this is what we aspire to. They're sort of behavioral values, if you like. So we have attentiveness, watchfulness, listening, transparency again, especially over planning and process, which means that we don't impose things without consultation with people whom it's going to affect. Gratitude to the people who are working, obviously, in the organization, and appreciation, which we see as something a bit different, because we've had some discussions in the past around, it's one thing just to say, oh, thanks so much for that. Thanks for, you know, good job. But appreciation is noticing the specific thing that person has done, which has brought this to the event or to what we're doing. And so I remember one of my ex-colleagues, he said, I don't really like people just saying, oh, you've done a great job. He said, I like to know what I did that was good. And I thought, oh, yeah, I get that. I understand that. So those are our values. And if managers in the organization are not adhering to them, it gives people who are being managed an opportunity. You know, we have 6 monthly appraisals, but we also have hopefully this availability is one of the things we say, that people can just come to us whenever they want. Please don't simmer, don't sit on anything, don't go to somebody else without coming to us. That they can, you know, they can come and say, I feel like I'm being completely overlooked. I don't think you have said thank you to me for anything for the last month, or, you know, whatever. So you've got a way of coming back to people, which I think is very important. And I think it's increasingly important in our time, in our culture now, where young people are not willing to work for people just and be just told what to do. They don't want to do it. They won't do it. And I don't really see why they should. So I think creating more healthy teams where, I mean, I think they need to understand there are people in charge and the people in charge have to take responsibility. So they might just have to say, right, well, we're all going to do this. But that kind of level of respect is very healthy, in my opinion.
Sure. And Lucy, some people find other tools helpful in terms of understanding styles of working. Mm. There's obviously classically Myers-Briggs or Belbin, DISC, other tools. Have you found any of those that work, or that you've that the staff themselves have found useful to understand one another?
We have, yes, very much so. In my first proper job in after uni, we actually used Myers-Briggs, and I found that helpful there in that team. We were a great team, and we had a wonderful boss who was a nun.
All right.
Yeah, it was a Roman Catholic day center, and I was just a worker there, and I learned a lot from her in 3 years. I really admired her very deeply. But we used Myers-Briggs, and I was only, you know, early 20s, and I found that very helpful then. And I found myself, I know, you know how some people are like, oh, it doesn't make any sense to me. I can't make sense of that. Myers-Briggs was a good tool for me. I found myself in it, and it helped with the rest of the team. And then we've been through loads, actually, in our churches, in other teams that I've been on. The one we use at WTC is called See Me. That's the name of the company that runs it, which is a fantastic company, and I would highly recommend them to anyone. And it sometimes people talk about this one as the insights. I think it's the colors. So it's quite simple. We've also used DISC. We've used Trimetrics. We've used various things. I like See Me. I find it very helpful. The people who come and talk us through it are excellent. And so we have a color wheel, and all new staff members get put onto the color wheel, and they get, you know, they are positioned, and then you see yourself in relationship to everybody else, which is great.
Just for clarity, See Me, is that the letter or S-E-E, me?
Oh, yes, it's the letter C-me.
Okay. Right. So if people are wanting to Google it and find out a bit more. I was going to ask you, Lucy, the best and worst teams that you've been part of. you already alluded that there were some dysfunctional teams, but it's all part of learning, I guess.
Oh, yeah, totally. I would say, I mean, I've been fortunate to be, the teams that I have been on, I think, have been good teams. I enjoy leading teams, and so I feel like once I was leading things, I very much enjoyed them, and I think that we did have good, healthy relationships on the teams that I've tried to lead. I think the sort of dysfunction I'm talking about was more things that I would look in and watch, and things that I would see the way people were. I mean, I'd done some voluntary stuff and been part of teams that were just cringy and thought, oh, I just want to get away. And then, I mean, the funny thing about probably what was the most difficult team dynamics was when my husband and I were working together. He won't mind me saying this. On the colours, we're opposite.
Oh, okay, right.
He's green blue, and we didn't have, I mean, it's tricky when you're married anyway, isn't it? Because you're probably, I think you're nicer to your colleagues than you are to your family. Right. Because you have some sort of filter, and we had one person working with us. So we were three leading our little church, and we had one person working with us for about 2 years, which was great. The three of us were a brilliant team. Then she left and another person came. And there was something about the three of us, which was a terrible team. I can't I can't put my finger on exactly what it was, but it was absolutely awful. And it was the beginning of the end of me and Nick both saying, we can't work together. This is just awful. And then, now we do stuff together, but we are still fairly strict about if one of us is in charge, the other one goes off and does something else. And we support each other in everything that we do, but we don't particularly want to be on a team anymore when one of us is leading and the other one's not. So yeah. I would say that's for the, you know, being transparent. For all those people in married relationships who are on teams, I think so. It worked for us for a long time, and then it almost sort of suddenly didn't work, and we all just went, actually, let's not do this. Yeah.
Well, thank you for your candor, Lucy. I'm sure a lot of people are resonating with what you've said. When it comes to building a team and being concerned about potential dynamics. Some have used the kind of three C's, competence, whether someone can do the job, character, obviously particularly key. But then there's the third C, and that is of chemistry and whether they feel like someone would fit in. I just wonder if your reflections on those three C's.
I think they're very helpful. Yeah, I think they're good. I think I would come back to this thing of values. If you recruit to values, what I think that you can head off is the sort of either one person just having a sort of favoritism of, you know, oh, I like that person, I get on well with that person or whatever, or missing something, you know, and then making a hire and thinking, oh, we didn't really check that. So I would say the three C's are great. I mean, I tick those boxes for sure, but I would add more to that. I would, and I think recruiting to a set of values, references. I really like the idea actually of people spending more time with the team before you actually make the decision of, are you going to come and work here or not? I remember reading something about a company in, you know, Scandinavia or something, and where they had people on the team for a week before they made a decision. Now, we haven't been able to afford to do anything like that, but I can see the wisdom in it, absolutely, especially if it's a key appointment. I think just spending more time, getting to know people better, working through the values together, and it is a way of sort of shoring up against those situations where you get to, you know, 3-6 months down the line and you're thinking this was not a happy appointment.
Well, Lucy, it's been terrific to chat with you. Thank you for sharing with candor some of your ups and downs of team dynamics. And thank you for, you know, emphasizing the importance of values. And I'm sure this will be food for thought for many of our listeners. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy. It's great to have chatted.
It was lovely to chat with Lucy Pepiat, the principal of Westminster Theological Centre. You can go to wtctheology.org.uk if you want to find out more about studying there, if theological study is something that particularly interests you. It's a hub-based model. They have validated courses and also online learning. Lucy's big advocate, of course, of building teams around values. And maybe that's something that's particularly interesting to you as you reflect on your own leadership and how you build teams. Maybe teams have not been always working well for you. And maybe looking at your corporate values might be a way ahead. She also mentioned the C-ME model. That's the letter C-ME. And you could go again to websites at www.colour-profiling.com and find out more. And no doubt find an experienced practitioner if you want to invite someone to come and take your team through that kind of exercise. From experience, I would say that some understanding of how teams function and how team members function is enormously valuable. A colleague is not deliberately winding you up, but just operates differently from you. And as you appreciate their difference and they appreciate your difference, you can accept one another much more easily. So why not get some team dynamics input and perhaps do so before it's too late and you really do have messes that you need to clear up. I particularly have valued StrengthFinder and Myers-Briggs, but I've used a version of See Me as well. And that's been very valuable in coaching and mentoring. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.